Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We have been on a roll talking about COVID and Afghanistan. We bring in now Candace Owens at Real Candace O. She's with the Daily Wire, has a fantastic show there. I've been on a couple of times. She's also now moved to the great city of Nashville. Buck Sexton, is it not a bad place to live? Candace, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's start here. You've been super fired up about, as Buck and I have as well, the absurdity of all the COVID mandates that are rolling down. How does this end? How do we win and return to some form of normalcy?
You know, to be honest, it's one of those discussions that really needs to be had on individual to individual level. I mean, you know, in Tennessee, I sort of led the charge in getting parents to understand that, you know, we are no longer in control of our children. You know, the fact that the states are determining whether or not your children will be masked, whether or not you're comfortable with it or not, is really a full breakdown and corrosion of family values, of realizing that parents should be in charge. And so we sort of led that march in Tennessee. And fortunately, you know, the parents came out and they went absolutely wild. And the governor stood up and said, this is not acceptable. And he signed an executive order and that's not allowed. But that needs to happen, that sort of a response state by state. And I don't foresee it happening in states like New York and in states like California, unless Gavin Newsom loses the recall to Larry Elder, because these people have been conditioned for so long to just trust whatever their governments say unquestioningly. And so, you know, we are fortunate in America in that there can't really be sort of a blanket federal mandate for these things, and we can fight on the state by state level. And I do believe that that's what needs to happen. But people actually need to take their own power back on an individual basis.
Some states, hey, Candace, it's Buck. Good to talk to you as always. Some states are taking very clear action to protect people from lockdown, vax mandate madness. And we need, you know, Fauciism is the general term that I've been using for a long time for it. But however people want to describe it, you know, Texas and Florida are making it so that at least there's choice when it comes to parents and their kids and whether they wear masks in schools. They're not actually banning masks, despite what the media says. But Texas has banned vaccine mandates, vaccine passports. South Dakota's Governor Kristi Noem, however, says she will not back a ban on vaccine mandates in her state. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was really shocked to learn that. I thought she was sort of behind the opposite. So that just, it definitely seems unlike her, since she was so against the lockdown of her state from start to finish. And, you know, it's problematic when you give the government that sort of power over your body. You know, many of these places, they're now putting pressure on the private companies to say, well, you need to mandate it. And many of these companies, by the way, are accepting federal dollars. So it is just the federal government trying to get around and be sneaky. You know, even in terms of, I think I read earlier that Delta Airlines is now going to start fining people who don't get the vaccine. You know, every month they're going to accept $300 from their paychecks. This stuff is by and large unconstitutional. You should never, ever hand power over your body to the state. And we're talking about this time when these were put into place, when these weren't even authorized by the FDA. You weren't even allowed to say, by the way, on Facebook that they weren't authorized, that they weren't authorized by the FDA. They said, well, it's authorized for emergency usage. But they didn't have clearance and they were still willing to do this. So, you know, this is scary times. America has become increasingly more tyrannical. I just got back to the United Kingdom. This is not going on there. People need to actually leave their country to realize how unique this is in America. There are no mask mandates in all of the UK, and they just announced today also that there will be no mandates on children. So what is happening in America? What separates us from the United Kingdom? What separates us from all of these other countries that are saying no? And the answer is that we have a governing body, and they're not really governing, but, you know, the CDC, in collusion with the World Health Organization, in collusion with the Biden administration, that really wants to have totalitarian control over the citizens in this country. And we were told that Trump was going to be the dictator.
It is pretty wild, Candace. And Joe Biden, I don't know if you saw the USA Today poll where he's down to a 41% approval rating, to the extent that you can rely on polls, as everything is falling apart with Afghanistan, the border, the budget is a mess. We'll see what ends up happening there. Where do we go from here as it pertains to the Joe Biden administration? Do you think he's going to be able to fulfill a full four-year term? Kamala's over, of all places, in Vietnam, just reinforcing the fact that we're dealing with a modern-day Saigon in 1975 situation. How do you see this playing out from here?
You know, it's interesting. I think this is the reason why the only reason he speaks is about the never-ending pandemic. It's the reason why Dr. Fauci slipped the other day and said that this pandemic would be over in fall 2022, meaning at midterm time. This is the way forward. This pandemic, and giving them the right or the reason, despite the fact that they have none, to radically transform our election process, seems the only way forward for the Democrat Party, because the people are starting to realize, wait a second, I don't recognize this country. You know, we have been humiliated on the world stage in terms of Afghanistan. The Taliban is not afraid of us. We're now negotiating and begging for terrorists to give us more time. This country is not strong. And now a lot of that rhetoric that they were so offended about when Trump tweeted it, they're starting to recognize was him just telling you the truth, no matter how offended you are. He was telling you the truth. America is on the brink. And we are on the brink of losing everything that this country represents. And if you don't elect a strong leader and you instead elect a senile man who we have known to be senile.
Clay, I think we did.
We lost her there for a sec.
We just lost Candace for a second. We'll bring her back in. Clay, I do. I was going to ask her about some breaking news. Let's see if we can get Candace back in here in a second. But this is from CNN. U.S. defense official, very specific threat stream on planned attacks against crowds outside Kabul airport. Now, look, threat stream reporting, I used to assess this. I used to be the guy sitting there at the CIA who was looking at this stuff. We have Candace again. Okay, Candace, I just had thanks for coming back with us here. We're speaking to Candace Owens of the Daily Wire, the Candace Owens Show, which you should all check out for sure. Candace, there's breaking news items here about a specific threat stream against crowds outside of Kabul airport. I just wanted to pose this to you because I think everyone needs to understand the Biden administration's already embattled, but it does feel like the entire Biden presidency is hanging by a thread right now, depending on how the next 6 days or so goes.
That's exactly right. And I think despite how the next 6 days goes, it's hanging on a thread. You know, like I said, the scale has fallen from the world's eyes. You know, they controlled so much of the outside rhetoric about what was going on in this election process. They controlled all of the rhetoric about conservatives, about Trump supporters, because internationally, you know, I'm married to a Brit. All they have is CNN International. There's no Fox News International. So they're believing everything that CNN has told them. But this situation in Afghanistan has really awakened the rest of the globe to the predicament that America is in, you know, that we are in a totalitarian state, that the media is dishonest. All those things that we've been saying for years, fake news, not telling the truth. People are seeing it in real time in terms of Afghanistan. They're seeing how the press, you know, tries to hide all of his symptoms. He doesn't even have the strength to stand up and take questions when we are facing an international crisis. And he can't remember the names of the people that are surrounding him on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, that is the only good thing about what's happening in Afghanistan, is that there is now a global awakening happening as to the corruption of the Democratic Party.
Candace, you gotten attacked a lot over the years, probably in ways that you never would have anticipated. I think you got attacked anew this morning. I saw you trending on Twitter this morning, I believe, and I'm sure you're kind of used to trending on a day-to-day basis. And really, I gotta be honest, Buck and I have talked about this. It's smart when you're trending to go ahead and be like, hey, if you're just becoming aware of who I am, here's my product. Come watch it. Make sure you subscribe. I mean, that's really the best way to kind of take advantage of what is a fundamentally dishonest social media platform. But what's it like to trend as often as you have been, and in particular of late?
You know, for me, it kind of has lost its glamour because now we know that those trends are controlled by Twitter. The Daily Beast seems to have some arm in when they decide they want something to trend, when they want to make something a big story that clearly isn't trending. So I'm really kind of rather uninterested, and I do tend to just promote whatever it is that I'm working on. Unless something that I deeply care about and I want to make people aware of something, then I'll sort of hit back as I did today.
Yeah, and you hit back in a big way. Who were you taking aim at in particular today?
You know, I have been covering for the last couple of months, and I'm hopeful that whether it's left or right, journalists will begin to do their research. Kimberly Klasick, who you guys will all recall was the woman who raised $8 million virtually overnight and was invited to speak at the RNC because she had a video of her walking in front of big font in high heels through Baltimore City. And you're seeing more and more of these videos pop up, and people are raising so much money because they're black and they're saying all the right things, and Republicans are not doing their due diligence. You know, Kimberly had attacked me for years, and I had sort of ignored it, feeling in my gut that something was off about this trend of people that seem to pop up, change their party, and say, I'm going to change things, and they run in districts that they can't win. And I looked into Kimberly's FEC filings and was shocked at what I found, and did a virtual 30-minute video taking everybody through what those FEC filings were, explaining to them that a lot of that money went to newly minted LLCs toward the end of her run, some that are run by Democratic candidates, former Democratic candidates of the year before, and three of them, which received a ton of money in the end, that are not in good standing, companies, businesses that have been defunct, and asked a lot of questions. And rather than answering them, she just began blocking. She blocked me on all social media accounts, blocked anybody that would ask her questions. I brought up the fact that she's also a former stripper, was a stripper approximately 4 years ago, and her husband was involved in the club. And nobody knew any of this. Nobody had even stopped to do any due diligence because they were just so amazed that there was a black woman walking down the street promising to change things in Baltimore. And we still have not received any answers regarding these bizarre FEC filings. And so instead, she decided to launch a frivolous lawsuit and say that she's losing her fundraising capabilities because I called her the madame of the club. And she took madame to mean that I meant that she was a sex worker or a prostitute. And what I meant was, like, you know, a madame of a club, the person who gets other girls hired, which even her Democratic opponent said was true and was virtually ignored by Republicans, who was also telling everybody about Kimberly Plasek. And so this is a really important discussion for us to have, first and foremost, just in regards to Kimberly Plasek. It's $8 million you're talking about. We need to know where this money went and why we're not receiving any answers because of it. But secondly, that, you know, Republicans are often fooled. And we need to make sure that we have some sort of operation in place to make sure that we're not being duped. People needed that money. $8 million in the middle of a shutdown, a pandemic where people can't make any money is a lot of money. And we can't be so idealistic and hopeful that we suspend our rational thinking and we don't look into these people.
Candace, where can people go to watch the Candace Owens Show?
You can head over to thedailywire.com /subscribe. And you can use my code to sign up. You can use my code is we the free, and you will get a 20% discount. dailywire.com/subscribe. Again, the code is we the free, and you will get a 20% discount on your subscription.
Candace,
it also
thanks.
Runs in segments on YouTube.
Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Clay, a couple things. One is I do think we might have to invite Kim Klasick on after that salvo on the radio. I think that's something we're going to ever have to reach out to. I hate conservative on conservative fighting. Just as a general thing, I hate when the right fights with the right. But
you've got your own feud going on right now.
There's no feud.
We've got Kristi Noem coming on tomorrow, scheduled right now.
I was wondering Kristi what Candace's take is on this one, because I'm going to have a little conversation. Well, we are going to have a conversation tomorrow with the governor of South Dakota. She wants to come on and talk about the fact that she, unlike Texas, won't ban vaccine mandates in her state. I think this is yet another time where she's running away from a fight when she's supposed to be a conservative who digs in, by the way, in a very red state where she faces no actual pressure from Democrats in a meaningful sense. I mean, we saw it on the transgender athlete issue where she went on Tucker Carlson's show, and now we have another one. So I would like to hear the explanation, and we're going to give her that opportunity tomorrow here on the show. So we will
tune in. Get your popcorn.
We will have that discussion.
1 o'clock Eastern. They reached out. They wanted to come on.
They want to come on. All right, Kristi, come on the show. We'll have a chat.
Here we got to talk about this, Buck. American history, civics education, it's all up for grabs. Who's going to decide what our children learn about our nation's founding and how great our nation is and can be? Our friends at Hillsdale College argue for teaching the truth. They've made the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum downloadable for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. This is for both teachers, but also people like you and me to share with other concerned Americans. Complete K through 12 history and civics curriculum. It's fantastic and designed to give educators guidance, not mandates. It allows students to learn the tragedies and triumphs of American history as it really happened. Only through a complete and honest study of our history can students fully understand the world in which they live. Our children deserve to be taught the truth through a sound curriculum that was created by teachers, not bureaucrats. America's future depends on an honest, candid look at our history. And also, you can download Hillsdale 1776 curriculum for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu.
Now that we have the full approval for those who were reluctant because it didn't have full approval, and those organizations who did not feel that they could require the vaccine until there was full approval, hopefully that will give us some more momentum. As children go back to school, this is really important that adults who can't, people of 12 and over, I'm called adult, my grandchildren, that they will be vaccinated. So that they don't put younger children at risk.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. Sorry about that, Pelosi there. Went a little longer than a minute or two, Clay. The point being here, though, they're going to mask up your kids. And I'm telling you, they're going to roll out just in time for the winter season. They're going to want kids to get that. They're pushing the FDA now. The FDA is a government body, and they're going to be pushing shots on your children. That's what's going to end up happening. They're going to want your six-year-olds. And what's the latest? We're going to have Alex Berenson on, hopefully soon to talk more about the data. I'm sorry. We talk to Alex. We get him on usually. But, Clay, the data out of Israel is showing us that we're in for a rough winter time.
Yeah, look. And there has been this sort of undercurrent of nervousness about the vaccine. And I know that people in the Biden administration don't want to acknowledge it. And if you say anything other than this vaccine is the greatest vaccine that's ever existed in the history of mankind, that you get banned or shadow banned on social media. But Israeli data is incredibly troubling because Israel is one of the most vaccinated countries in the world, and their numbers are skyrocketing right now in terms of people having to be hospitalized with COVID. And if you go look at the data and start to track it down, one of the scary things there is that this vaccine was supposed to be an ultimate panacea. And early on, it does appear to have a great deal of power and strength in terms of what happens with COVID. But this vaccine, as you know, because of the boosters that are being talked about, wanes in a hurry. And I'm looking at the latest Israeli data right now, Buck, on my phone, and they are close to setting a new all-time high for cases, and the amount of hospitalizations and deaths are also skyrocketing. It's possible that they are going to have worse numbers post-vaccine than they had last fall.
And I would like to get some honest, scientifically minded answers about this, rooted in the data. We're going to try to do that for you here. What the heck is going on? Come back to that in a minute. Plus, this terror threat that's being reported on outside the gates of Kabul International Airport. We'll break that down for you in a few moments here. If we learned anything since 2020, it's that we have to have a powerful immune system. It's critical for your health. You know it. I know it. That's why over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables plus probiotic and digestive enzymes so you can build your body's defense from the inside out. You know how your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, a lot of people don't? Texas Superfood is the safety net for the American diet. So if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and vegetables every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We roll through the Wednesday edition of the program. Had Candace Owens on at the top of the second hour. Encourage all of you out there, go make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You'll be glad that you did. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. You can scroll through, check out the guests, check out the debates, check out the discussion. And you can go give us 5 stars as well. My guy Dub is going to be reviewing all of those, although Dub is still on probation inside of the show for taking the picture of Buck Sexton, Tommy Lahren, and me that was so unflattering to us that that Buck is. I don't know. We may have to strip him of any photography role for the future.
Photo gates. Well, the real issue wasn't the photo so much as it's Tommy Lahren has like 15 million bajillion followers on social media. So when she posted that photo, it's like there are people writing in from, or, you know, the other side of the world. They get people writing in from Nepal, like, maybe Clay and Buck need to spend some time on the treadmill, you know?
Yeah, and then we had our photo shoot the next day, and I was a little bit nervous about what the photo shoot results were going to be, but those actually turned out decent because we got to replace that picture that we have up on the podcast that looks like we're inside of a cave, you know, like trying to creepily scare people.
I feel like, especially because I'm just like a little faded behind you, Clay, that I'm like the guy in the 90s, you know, teen slasher, What Did You Do Last Summer movie, who's like, they thought he was gone, and then he returned, you know? That's what
Yeah, you do have a little bit of a Scream 1 villain look to you there. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, good movie, by the way.
A great movie. Great movie. All right, so we've got all sorts of chaos outside of the airport in Kabul as the American soldiers are beginning to be recalled. Expectation is we have a deadline of August 31st because the Taliban said, no, you can't extend it. They are the captains of the Afghanistan ship. Basically, they're the captains now. Joe Biden has no control. Let's play cut five here. And the danger zone is all of these people desperately trying to get into the airport are an incredibly, incredibly unprotected target for many of the terroristic elements inside of Afghanistan. But let's play cut five here.
This is not without risk. I think we should be extremely clear about this. This is a very complicated, very high-risk mission. But I think we also have to be clear that if we aren't willing to use the U.S. military to protect U.S. citizens and our partners and our friends, then what will we use our military for? This falls squarely within the wheelhouse of why we have the biggest, strongest military in the world, and that is to protect our people.
Total issue here now, Buck, is, as we have said, Biden's presidency is hanging by a thread, because if Donald Trump can get impeached for a phone call with a Ukrainian president, how in the world can Joe Biden not have his entire presidency on the precipice here based on what might happen? And as you said, during this hour, there have been reports, and you used to study and analyze and sometimes write these reports about the threats that are emanating potentially in Afghanistan. What is the latest about the dangers in Kabul?
We have to understand that while we have thousands and thousands of people that will gather at Kabul International Airport, and I'm in email contact with folks who are directly trying to advise people about how to get around checkpoints. People are calling this the digital Dunkirk. They're telling them, go here, don't go there, using commercially available satellite imagery. All this is happening. But Clay, when you're thinking about the counterterrorism mission, you immediately go to soft targets, places that will be easy to hit with mass casualty effect. And there's reporting right now, a credible threat stream, and a specific one on, this is what CNN was saying a moment ago, now it's catching on, other places are saying it too, that there may be targeting going on of the crowds that are stuck trying to get into Kabul International Airport. Let's just take a step back and think about what's really going on here. We are reliant, and this is the reality, we are reliant right now on Taliban checkpoints preventing, let's say, the deployment of many suicide bombers, or who knows what the possible plot could be here. We're relying on Taliban checkpoints to stop that. Now, as crazy as this may sound, with the Taliban trying to establish itself as the legitimate government of the country of Afghanistan, which it is now going to be the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. I don't think anybody denies or doubts that. They may not see it in their immediate interest. I don't think they do see it in their immediate interest. Otherwise, obviously, they would have already started going after these Americans themselves, right? To allow something like that to happen, though, keep in mind, allowing someone to slip through, they would pretend, is not the same thing as doing the or planning the attack themselves, although we would view it largely, I think, the same way. This is something where we all just have to sit with, honestly, our fingers crossed and saying our prayers that there is not a mass casualty attack perpetrated by elements of ISIS in Khorasan, Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Some faction within the Haqqani network could decide that they're just there. There's all these different possibilities, and we're effectively helpless to protect people who are stuck outside the gates. Right. The military is protecting the airport and the interior. Outside those gates, we're at the mercy of the Taliban, Clay, and we're just hoping that they can keep security enough that there won't be this kind of an attack.
Yeah, and this is the great fear going forward is even if there isn't an attack outside of the airport now, that in pulling out as ridiculously and haphazardly as we have, we have created an incredible breeding ground for terrorists of many different organizations. And whether or not the Taliban's going to have any ability to control them or any desire to control them is a major part of this issue going forward. And again, I would just circle back to the question. Obviously, we don't have a Democrat, or we have a Democratic House and we have a Democratic Senate, and that factors in a big way. But if the standard for impeachment is a phone call that Donald Trump had with the president of Ukraine, how in the world is all of the failure in Afghanistan not even infinitely more of grounds for potential impeachment? Now, the answer can be, well, again, the Republicans don't control right. the House or the Senate.
And stupidity is not the same thing as corruption. That's what the Democrats will say. I mean, they won't say that, I should, but that's what the answer effectively will be. This is for the voters to decide. This is not for the process. Now, I'm with you. The phone call, the report that was put out by the Mueller probe, which the whole thing was a sham. They've debased impeachment such that if we were using a uniform standard, yeah, of course,
Biden would get impeached 100%.
But they'll fall back on the, okay, so Joe Biden's the most incompetent commander in chief since Jimmy Carter. Maybe far before that, actually, if we're really going
to. I think he's way more incompetent than Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter, for all the insults that you can levy his way, certainly his tenure as president was a mess, and the only reason he got elected was because of Watergate. But Jimmy Carter was incredibly intelligent.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
And was involved in being able to make intelligent decisions inside of the White House during his presidency. I don't believe either of those things are true of Joe Biden.
And one of the great frustrations that I think, and I know we have a lot of callers who have been calling in and voicing this, some making it on the air, others just talking to our team here and letting it be known, this was all so predictable. I mean, not just the debacle of Joe Biden in charge of Afghanistan, but we were all sitting here, you know, waving our arms, jumping up and down, saying, guys, Joe Biden's a clown. Joe Biden is a sub-mediocrity. This guy was rejected resoundingly by Democrat voters numerous times before this most recent election. They all knew that he wasn't up for this. But this time around, during COVID, as you and I have discussed many times, hiding him in the basement, how bad can he be? Return to normalcy. This became the pitch. And so all of a sudden, he's the guy. But not only was this predictable, Clay, we predicted it, meaning that the people that were trying to raise the alarm bells about what Biden would mean for national security, the border, the economy, the regulatory state, COVID lockdowns, all of this, what we've said is coming to pass already. And it is actually, I think, maybe the only criticism we could have of ourselves is maybe it's even worse than we said it would be. I think
it is even worse, because I think it's even worse 8 months in, because I watch Joe Biden every time he has a press conference, and I legitimately wonder whether he's going to make it through or not.
We do have some.
And I can't imagine he's going to make it through 4 years.
We do have some good political news, though. Some really interesting ones that I know you wanted to get to. A beloved American running for Senate in a state. We don't want to get too far. Do you want to tease more than that, Clay?
Well, it could be the difference between Democrat or Republican control. It's a major swing seat, and we have got an incredibly qualified and popular candidate who just announced today. We'll tell you all about it. That's called a great tease. That's next.
What's your deepest financial worry today? The rapidly rising cost of a new home? Inflated prices on a gallon of gas? Or just anything you're going to buy at an appliance store? Protecting what you've worked hard to earn and save should be at the top of that list. One of the real ways to protect yourself is investing a portion of your IRA or savings in gold. No one does that better than my partners at the Oxford Gold Group. They make it possible to have precious metals delivered to your home. There's nothing like real gold on your doorstep. Life-changing and easier to do than you'd think. Now when I open my safe, I have my passport, my home protection, and a bit of reserve cash and real gold from the Oxford Gold Group. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them now, 833-404-GOLD, and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through second hour of the program here. Good news, I think, for those of us who want the Republicans to take back the Senate in 2022. There are going to be a lot of battleground states, and one of them is certain to be the state of Georgia, where Democrats were able to sweep through and win two different elections to get it to a 50-50 Senate. And one of those wins was the Reverend Raphael Warnock, who was going up against Kelly Loeffler. And it was an incredibly tight election. And remember, one of the big difficulties of that election was there was a lack of faith in the outcomes in Georgia, and therefore the Republican overall number of voters was down at a lower level than maybe you would have anticipated. And so this is pretty exciting news. Herschel Walker, legendary former Georgia running back, also big time NFL star, but a guy who is as beloved in the state of Georgia as any athlete is in any state in America, has officially announced that he is going to be running for that Senate seat against the Reverend Raphael Warnock. And the hope would be that by the time that actually gets decided next November, that Herschel Walker is going to be able to punch back and retake that seat for the Republicans. So, Buck, when you hear the name Herschel Walker, I know you're not a diehard sports fan, but honestly,
I like the sports.
I can't think of a better candidate.
I'm an American. I don't follow the spread for the game and all this stuff.
Know Herschel Walker if you
saw
him?
Yeah, Herschel Walker is one of the true greats. I know Herschel. I've seen clips on YouTube, like compilations of Herschel Walker doing amazing stuff. People just talk about his level of just physical giftedness as though it's one of the greatest the game has ever seen.
Yes. He's also a guy who is in many ways self-made, and that's why I think he's such a good Republican candidate, is he believes in individual excellence and individual freedom. And so the big question that is going to be out there is, can he help to bring back, because there's a lot of different races out there that are going to be incredibly challenging. And frankly, the board, if you look at the overall seats that are up and the states where they're available, is not necessarily wildly favorable for the Republicans. Whereas the House, it's pretty easy to forecast. I would say Senate control is going to be 50-50, and you need to flip back some of these places.
Clay, it's going to be a tight election, and having somebody that will also just get buzz, get attention on the Republican side is clearly going to be helpful. And, the Democrats, I think, recognize right now the level of the razor-thin margin that they currently have to get anything done, and how they're not looking good at all for what's going to happen here in the next cycle. That's part of why I think they're still pushing to get budget stuff done. While Afghanistan is happening right now, and people are saying, why isn't the Congress all hands on deck? Democrats are going, oh, we better do this stuff now, because they want to, one, get it through, but I think they also are trying to control the optics, because they have very few people they can lose in either the Senate side or the House side to get things done right now.
Yeah, and I also think the interesting thing about Herschel Walker and Warnock is, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I don't think we've ever had a Senate race, certainly not in the South, to my knowledge, that was two black candidates. So when you think about the Democratic Party of their entire campaign being everything is racist, seems like it's kind of hard to argue everything is racist when you got a black candidate on both sides.
You saw, Tucker did a great job with this on his show last night, where you have Larry Elder in the Los Angeles Times, folks, there was a piece that referred to Larry Elder as, quote, the black face
of white supremacy. So you can imagine the kind of racist crap that the Democrats, because they feel so safe doing this, because if you're not part of the, you know, Democrat progressive machine, all of a sudden they get to negate things about you like your race and ethnicity, which, as we know, race and ethnicity is so central to Democrats. So I can only imagine there's going to be a lot of really nasty, ugly stuff said about Herschel Walker on this specific issue.
Yes.
With no consequences for the cancel culture left, because it's all about power and control.
That's right. But the easy takeaway here, if you look at the breakdown of voters, is if Herschel Walker can get 20% of the black vote, just 20%, then he will win the state of Georgia by a substantial margin against the Reverend Raphael Warnock. So, to your point, they are going to try to paint him in the same way that is happening with Larry Elder. That is an unbelievable headline in the LA Times, the black face of white supremacy. Man, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about this and much about this in the weeks ahead. What's going to happen in that recall election?
Oh, man.
We're going to seismic win.
We're going to dive into that one. I just want to update everybody. We did extend an invitation to Kim Klasick to come on the show and address what was said in a previous segment. Kim's already gotten back to us and said that on advice of counsel, she will not be responding on air. She will be responding in the courts. So that is, we are
trying to give everybody an opportunity to respond one way or the other.
We are fair here, and we offered that, and that was the response we got. So we just want to be clear. It's going to play out in the courts is what we've been told. So we've got our friend Johnny Joey Jones, JJJ. He's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. He's a Marine veteran, EOD tech, wounded in Afghanistan. Now he's a Fox News contributor, a great guy, a great patriot. We want to talk to a guy who's seen all this stuff with the Taliban up close and personal about what he thinks is going on, coming up next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.